What's up, dudes and dudettes? How are you all doing today? I have had some week this week, and it's been a week of urgency and a week of panic and a week of trying to control things that are not within my power to control. Anybody else? And it's only like week two of December. And I caught myself just running this circle in my head, running these thoughts in my head. Last night, I went to bed after eating some really spicy Thai food. And I thought, if anything keeps me up, it's going to be that. And that didn't keep me up. My mind literally would not shut off. I was having dreams, but I couldn't tell you what they were when I woke up this morning. I was having dreams that it was one of those dreams where you're trying to accomplish something and you can never get it accomplished. You guys have had those? You know what that is? And I woke up and I had to squeeze the lemon, as it were. Use the restroom, okay? You're looking at me like you've never heard this phrase. Another dude's like, squeeze the lemon. Right. So I had to get up, and then as I'm squeezing the lemon, I am self-talking myself and saying, hey, man, there's nothing that your mind needs to be running about. And I'm like having this talk at 3 a.m. to myself. And then I wake up, and things are good, things are well in my house. I make myself two slices of toast with real butter on them. Oh man, that's like comfort food, right? That's like your happy space. Yes, sir. And I drink this coffee that I made, this delicious black, dark, hot, warm, just delicious coffee. And I go across the street, and Caleb and I commute together because we like to think green. And I get here, and I'm exiting the vehicle, and I slip on the ice, right on my back. And not only is it on my back, but it's on the right side of my back that I've been having issues with, and I fell right on the spot, right on the base where that stems from. And I'm cured. I don't know. I don't feel it right now, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what that's going to feel like tonight. And I just said, oh, just another thing to worry about. Like, what ifs? What if? What's going to happen? Isn't that weird? So you catch me in a weird spot this morning, and you catch me in a weird spot as I'm about to teach. And what I'm about to teach has nothing to do with this, I don't think. We'll see if God starts sending some themes and whispering some themes through the Holy Spirit as we teach this. But this week's teaching, we've been going through a sermon series in Hebrews. And this whole time, the Hebrews writer has been doing parallels, if you've noticed, of who Jesus is compared to Moses, of who Jesus is compared to Melchizedek, this priest, of who Jesus is compared to just, you name it, they're doing these parallels and running these parallels all through these chapters. And we're like in chapter 9 and 10, and it's just ending with Jesus is. So we have this sermon series, and we've called it Jesus Is, and this week specifically is called Jesus Is the Perfect Sacrifice. It's kind of weird to be hitting that like the second week in November because, you know, we should be starting to celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? We want to celebrate baby Jesus. Easter's coming. That's later. But we don't want to talk about the sacrifice, but you cannot have baby Jesus without the intent of sacrifice. We were looking at, my wife brought up a photo book, or brought down a photo book, and it was baby pictures. And all we were trying to do is find our very first couch that someone gave us, and it was blue with floral print. And we find ourselves flipping through the entirety of this photo book because our babies were really cute. blonde-haired boys, blue-eyed boys. And at that time, that was a time when life didn't suck the fun out of them, so they were happy. Now they're 15 and 11, and I don't know what's going on, right? No, I'm kidding. They're still awesome, fun boys. But we're looking through this photo book, and I'm seeing these smiling babies, and we're preparing for this message. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, and you have this Christmas season coming up, and you think of baby Jesus in the manger. You think of Silent Night and all these different songs that you sing and you play. And I started thinking of my little boys, my little baby boys, being bred to be slaughtered. That's a weird thought, to have that knowledge, to know what you're in for. There was a nun, several nuns, right? There was a nun, and they're a part of Our Lady of Mississippi Abbey. Sounds real prestigious, doesn't it? And they have this website called, I think it's Candy Monastery is what it's called. Or Monastery Candy, actually. And it is what it sounds like. They make candy, and they sell it online. They make candy, and they sell it online, and they make all sorts of different things. Well, a lady in this abbey, her name is Sister Grace Remington, made a picture of Mary and Eve. And can we show that? Can we kill these stage lights so we can just get a great view of what this is? Can you guys see that okay? It's a little far away. You have Eve here on the left side with a pretty forlorn look on her face. She's still clutching the fruit from the garden, and it's got a bite out of it. And if you see down on her left leg, the serpent's tail is wrapped. And if you know anything about the Adam and Eve story, that was our beginning as humanity. That's where we came from. She is the mother of all of us. And then on the right here, you have a depiction of Mary, pregnant. And as we know, she is the mother of Jesus. And you have Eve. I don't know if she asked permission to touch the belly. I don't know. You know, I know that's a big thing these days, right? But you have Eve just very forlorn looking at her stomach and having a hand on her stomach and knowing baby Jesus is there. And then if you can see under Mary's left foot, she's crushing the head of the serpent. When I came across this photo, it was some other internet blogger, this Facebook blogger, and it really caught my eye. I'm a lover of art. I collect some of it on my body. But it just really spoke to me, and it struck me, the contrast of you have the beginning of humanity, Eve, with the mother carrying the Savior of the world in the same photo. The perfect sacrifice. And then I think about the time gap in between those two events. There's a gap of time where we talk about Moses and Abraham and the Israelite nation and all these people that are struggling to figure out who God is and to figure out how to move two steps and what God's calling them to do. And God was very specific with laws, as we found out, Levitical priesthood. There was all these laws they had to follow, all these rules they had to follow. And as the Hebrews writer has told us time and time again, the law could perfect nothing. It could do nothing for us, really. We had to keep making the sacrifice and re-upping the sacrifice and redoing the sacrifice over and over for every sin. Until Mary, until Jesus. And what's beautiful is God created both of these women, created both of these women in time. And they both served a function. I resonate a lot with Eve. I was having a conversation with Louise, our keyboardist, this morning, and she loves these curtains. And she said, I'm going to put these curtains down. And I said, who's going to tell you anything? Who's going to tell you to stop? Who's going to tell you you couldn't or you could? And that resonates with me because that's who I am, right? Who's going to tell me anything? God dealt constantly with the Israelite nation. God dealt constantly with a stubborn, obstinate people who said, our way is better than your way. And God continued to chase, pursue, love, endure from the time of Eve through the birth of Jesus, through the death of Jesus, his son, through the resurrection of Jesus, his son. And so from here we have this frame of reference that this Hebrew writer writes about after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. After this huge period of time in between, here's what he has to say. It's going to be a lot of reading, and we can keep the lights low. I'm fine with that. You guys can continue to look at this picture. Let's not run the scripture. I put it in there, but let's not run it. Let's just listen and hear. If you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. If you need to get comfy in your chair, get comfy in your chair. If you're like me, a lot of times I tense my jaw, and I don't really know that I'm doing that. But if you're aware that you're doing that right now, just relax. Be cool. Nobody's going to sneak up behind you. Okay? Close your eyes if you want. But Hebrews 9, 11 through 28 says this. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once and for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. Now, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. That is why even the first covenant was put into effect with the blood of an animal. For after Moses had read each of God's commandments to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats along with water and sprinkled both the book of God's law and all of the people using hyssop branches and scarlet wool. Then he said, this blood confirms the covenant God has made with you. And in the same way, He sprinkled the blood on the tabernacle and everything used for worship. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the real things in heaven had to be purified with far better sacrifices than the blood of animals. For Christ, Jesus, did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again like the high priests here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once, for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. We move on through Hebrews 10. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide the perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sin year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You do not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the scriptures.'" First, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who were being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so, for he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds." Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And if that isn't news, good news, life-giving news to you this morning, I don't know what will be. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. There's nothing that we can do. All our worry and all of our toil, like what I've been facing all week, wanting to control, wanting to manipulate, wanting to have some kind of level of superiority over my life. The biggest thing that's ever happened in our world is the separation that we've had from God. That's it. There's another biggest thing that's happened in our world, and that's the reconciliation that we have to God through Jesus Christ. Through that sacrifice, through that perfect offering that puts us in right standing with God. There's nothing else. In that same monastery, Our Lady of Mississippi Abbey. Is it an abbey? It wouldn't be a monastery then. It would be an abbey, right? Monasteries hold monks, right? That's a container for monks, yes? I don't know. But in that same abbey, this piece of art actually went viral and started just selling like crazy. And they said, well, we should make this next year's Christmas card. These nuns are smart and they've got an eye for business, right? So the next year that this, after this painting and this picture was made, this other nun, she just goes by Sister Columba. She wrote a poem to go with it. It says this: my mother, my daughter, life-giving Eve, do not be ashamed. Do not grieve. The former things have passed away. Our God has brought us to a new day. See, I'm with child through whom all will be reconciled. O Eve, my sister, my friend, we will rejoice together forever. Life without end. Man. What Jesus did is insanely. It's beautiful. It's life-giving. It's everything that we need. It's everything that we should be. From the fall in the garden to the glory of Jesus' resurrection and the glory of sin and death being eradicated from our lives and the glory of just how God took care of everything because he knew we weren't capable of doing it. That's what we need to remember. Now, forever, always. That's what we need to remember in this Christmas season, which should be all year round. Unless you're Scrooge like me, then you have to be visited by ghosts every year. It gets exhausting, right? But we should be celebrating that redemption. In Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, it says this: death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus kicked death's butt. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. Until Jesus came. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. All my toil, all my thoughts, all my worries, all my everything is based on what we do here the majority of the time. I do still have some personal things as well that I work through, but for the most part, a lot of it's here. I worry about what we do here. I worry about the Christmas concert that's going to happen tonight. Will you guys show up? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Should I worry about it? No. Should I toil about it? No. Will you guys get behind what God's calling us to do and the mission of our God Dreams process as we talk about this evangelism thing? This joy, this news, this excitement of Eve and Mary and Jesus and sin being eradicated, these words should be our words. This is what we should be proclaiming to our neighbors, our friends, our family, everybody that we come in contact with. This should just be oozing out of us constantly. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? In John, Jesus says these words about himself. It says, "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you." How did Jesus love us? Unconditional. He gave everything he had. He loved us by being obedient to the call God had on his life. To the end. He loved us by making sure his promises were kept. And who he said we are is real. He loved us perfectly. And he says, love each other in the same way I've loved you. This is how people are going to know it's real. There is no greater love than to lay one's life, lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus is speaking this before he died. Jesus is speaking this before any of this happened. His disciples probably weren't even believing that it was going to happen still, or even had an inkling, well, who would kill you? Why would they do that? There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. Not only is he high priest that we're reading about, not only is he God, creator of heaven and earth, you and me, he goes a step further and says, you're my friend if you live these things out. Anybody have a really good friend that you cherish relationship with, that you can't wait to talk about things with, that you can bear your soul with? Man, Jesus is talking about that depth of relationship with him, the creator of you, the creator of me, the creator of heaven and earth. And he's high priest. He's king. He's Lord. He's all these things, and he's still saying, you guys are my friends if you do all that I've commanded. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friend, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, he says. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Oh, man. So that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. He is calling you to be, me to be, the perfect sacrifice. Not perfect on our own, not perfect because we did things right or we did things good or we did things better, but perfect because of his blood made us perfect. Perfect because of his sacrifice made us perfect. Perfect because of everything that he is and does is perfect. And he invites us into that. Not for ourselves, not to just keep it, but to go and be it. You go lay your life down for people. You go raise people up that are suffering. You go raise up the widows and the orphans and the outcasts and the immigrants. Let's get a little political, okay? Can we do that? It's a good climate for it, right? You go be these things for people. You go do these things for people because I've commanded it. And you know what? I'm going to give you everything you need to do it with. I'm going to give you perfection because I am perfect. I'm going to give you holiness because I am holy. I'm going to give you all the tools that you need, even though you're going to think in the moment that you don't have anything to offer. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, and he calls us to do and be the same for everybody else around us. Are you in? We are celebrating this evening with the community of Laramie. It's not just the community of Laramie. It's tons of different churches and church people that will be here because they are promoting it from their stages right now. They're promoting it from their Facebook pages right now. And it's going to be churches that you may have left and hated and have huge beef with, and you're going to have to sit in the same room with them and say, oh, I haven't talked to you since I left that church. And that one, and that one, and that one. Some of you are really good at revolving door church ministry here. Let's not pretend, right? Okay? Let's not pretend. So, you have an opportunity to come and be a sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice. You have opportunity to come and just love one another. You have opportunity to come and serve and be in the body. Be who you were made to be in the body here. You have opportunity to be who you were made to be in the body out there in your workplace, everywhere you've been. And it started with Jesus, making everything right for us. God, I pray that these words sink deep into our hearts, and I pray that these words sink deep into our souls. God, who you are, what you did is not light. It's big. It's huge. It's beyond us. It was for us. Make that understood in our minds and our spirits through your Holy Spirit. God, if there's people that are still dancing around who you are and yet to say yes to you, Jesus, and to say yes to your sacrifice and allow that sacrifice to just cover them and move in how you've called them to move and move in how you've called them to create, be created and move, God, break them down in your kindness and your love and your mercy and forgiveness. Let them see it for what it is. God, for those of us that have forgotten these words and forgotten who you are the perfect sacrifice. You are the perfect high priest. You are king. You are God. You are creator. God, let us wrestle with that until we come to a conclusion that, yes, those things are true, as your word says. God, may all of us take this out of this room and make it real in our lives, in the lives of our work, in the lives of our home, in the lives of our families. God, you are the perfect sacrifice, and you call us to do nothing and be nothing less. God, you are awesome. You deserve all glory and honor, and we pray that your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And it's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.